Hey guys, did you know that you can subscribe to the Investor Coaching Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts? When you subscribe, you get notifications with new episodes so you never have to go looking for an episode or worry about what you've missed. So if you're on your phone or computer, go ahead and pause the episode real quick and become a subscriber. If you're not sure how to subscribe, go to paulwinkler.com/how-to-subscribe, all one word, how to subscribe, for instructions, or click the link in the show note. Now let's get started.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, back here on the Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler talking about the world of money and investing. So I had a workshop that I taught this week, a couple workshops that I taught this week. One was on debt. Oh, you know what? I probably need to mention this because the one that was on debt, we had a lot of people that signed up for that. We had a pretty good crowd for that particular one. And I actually said that we were going to have that in a recorded form. I think what you can still do, and Stuart, check me on this, I think if you go to paulwinkler.com/debt, I don't think it's up yet because there are some things, no, I'm sure it's not up yet, simply because we had to do some things with that particular workshop. You know, there were a couple of technical issues that I ran into in the middle of the workshop, weren't big deals, but I wanted to actually go and fix that so it was much easier to watch. So that is going to be up there for you. Just check back. I think if you just register for that, we will get an email saying that you have registered for it. We can send it to you. But I get into debt issues with it. Is it always bad? Answer, no, it's not. There are sometimes that it can be used as a tool. So I talk a lot about that, how corporations use debt as a tool, how to avoid debt, getting out of debt, mindsets and thinking about money. I talk a little bit about how I've always thought about, you know, money and staying out of debt in kind of the same way, the different types of debt that there are out there. Reverse mortgages, talk a little bit about that. You know, so there's a lot of good stuff in there in that particular workshop, and that's how you figure that out. Now, another workshop that I was teaching. There was a workshop that I was teaching this week about investing in general. And one of the things that I often get into, we talk about the investment industry quite often here and talk about how the issues with the investment industry and some of the traps that you can fall into with regards to investing. But one of the things that I covered in that particular workshop was the idea of how the investment industry tends to hide problems. You know, because quite often we have, and my wife was talking, and I were talking about this morning, as a matter of fact, there was a really big company, and I'm not going to talk about them. They're a company in town here, and a lot of people have done business with them, and they've been around for a long time. But routinely, I have yet to hear, in all the years that I've heard stories about that company, I've yet to hear a positive story of people working with this particular company in regards to the work that they do. My wife was just going, how is it that a company even stays in business doing the kind of stuff that these people are doing to their buyers? And I said, you know, it is. It's a shame, but quite often what people do is they think big means reputable, means trustworthy. You know, so what happens is you'll have fund companies and they're huge. They're absolutely huge. And they're doing things that, you know, from an investing standpoint, you look at the returns and you look at what we have seen with the research on investors versus investor behavior and how they're not controlling investor behavior and investors are getting horrible, horrible results. And you wonder how these people stay in business. Well, the reason is they may do what they say they're going to do, but they don't necessarily say they're going to give a quality product from the investing standpoint. You know, so, you know, Ira, you went and grabbed for your bag as soon as I started talking about that.
Because I was looking at this. I've been looking at this for several months now. Mm-hmm. Fines and penalties.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Many people are unaware of the fact that familiar large institutions they trust to invest their money have massive amounts of fines and penalties as a result of regulatory violations. I know Paul's going to not like when I do this right now.
You're not going to name companies, are you?
No, I'm not going to name them. Good. But there's a big investment mutual fund company that starts with an F that's had $37 million since 2000. One of the problems was investor protection violation, kickbacks and bribery, planned benefit. Another big company, $9.7 billion, mm-hmm. toxic security abuses, investor protection violation, mortgage abuses.
Yeah, toxic security abuses doesn't sound good.
Employment discrimination, a big bank.
Well, I don't care if they discriminate employees because that's not my investments.
Okay, a big bank. But no, but you know what? When you're a publicly traded company.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there.
A very obnoxious. A very big bank with a stagecoach. $21 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Toxic security. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
But it's even stuff that isn't finable and not illegal is what I see as the problem. You know, like, for example, one of the things I talk about in workshop and we talk about in our workshops that we teach every month is the study on style consistency, major equity asset classes. So we basically say, don't time the market. Don't try to time the market. You know, that doesn't make any sense. And everybody knows. You've probably heard that before. Timing the market doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. It actually hurts returns. Yet literally 49.02% of all domestic equity funds drifted in style in this study, SPIVA study in 2019. 37% of large cap funds did. 57.82% of mid cap funds drifted in style, which is a form of market timing. It's tactical asset allocation.
Well, when you look at the allocations between U.S. stocks and international stocks, you know there's drifting back and forth.
Well, international equity funds, 70% drifted in style.
Yeah.
And why is that important? Well, 91 to 94% of your investment performance is due to asset allocation. Brinson, Hood, Bebauer study of pension plans. What they did is they studied pension plans and they said, why do these pensions have different returns over the same period in time? What causes the difference? It was asset allocation. Which asset classes did they hold? So that's telling us that asset class is pretty doggone important. And if you have a fund, 70% of these funds in this area of the market drifted, 70% of them messed with the number one thing by far that drives your investment performance. Now, why would they drift? It's a form of market timing. If they can just drift into another area of the market that happens to beat their core area. In other words, if they're investing in mid-cap blend stocks and they drift over into mid-cap value, and if mid-cap value does better than mid-cap blend, they can advertise themselves as a mid-cap blend fund that had a better return than their peers. And if they don't do it, if they don't perform well, they've got another game plan in place. And that is that they close down the fund because it performs poorly and they erase it from their fund history. They get rid of that bad performance. And I had a guy came up to me after the workshop and he goes, any major fund company, oh my goodness, they're always changing my mutual funds. Oh my goodness, Paul, that's why they do that. I never understood why they were constantly changing stuff. And I said, yeah, that'd be one of the reasons they would do it. Close down the poor performers and they make themselves look better. So,
when they do that, they're actually selling out the funds that are performing bad at a lower price, mm-hmm. putting you into the funds that have already gone up
locking
at a higher price.
Locking you in. This is the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler, along with Ira Work. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.